Okay, we're going to ask Kathy Lear to open us in prayer today.
Heavenly Father, we are blessed. We look outside at the beauty of summer and just see this dynamic season unfolding in so many ways. Just lush, green, beautiful things that you have made. Yards and bloom in our gardens, producing a bounty, and we have so much to be thankful for, Lord, and it's just truly an amazing thing to see what you've created for us. Lord, we just certainly pray that our hearts would be appropriately thankful for the great and wonderful things that you've done for us, that you created for us, that you continue to do for us, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we pray with all our heart that what we do in our day-to-day living will bring glory to you, to the magnificent God of creation that you are. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, who wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, in purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name, earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And by singing that, are we expressing that we are Trinitarian Christians? Yes, we are. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, my quips and quotes for today, the 21st of July, 2019. Keep your conscience clean, your powder dry, trust in God, and fight like blazes. Alexander Hamilton, 1788, said, "In disquisitions of every kind, there are certain primary truths or first principles upon which all subsequent reasoning must depend. No wall of words can be so formed as to stand against the sweeping torrent of boundless ambition on the one side, aided by the sapping current of corrupted morals on the other." George Washington, 1789. And of course, as I always say, these men were prophetic in the things that they were saying. It has come to pass these days. Whereas civil rulers, not only having their duty to the people duly before them, may attempt to tyrannize as military forces, which must be occasionally raised to defend our country, might pervert their power to injury of their fellow citizens, the people are confirmed by the article in their right to keep and bear their private arms. That was from Tench Cox, who was an American political economist, 1755 to 1824, and his source, writing as a Pennsylvanian, and remarks on the first part of the amendments to the federal constitution. We can certainly enjoy the songs of this particular, verses of this particular song. Thirsty, I'm thirsty for you in a dry land with no drink. I need you, I know you made a home inside this heart of stone. So turn it into flesh, Spirit, soften it. I give you all I have, holding nothing back, Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I'm yours. Take over, lover of my soul. Take control, I surrender. There's nothing I want more than to know you, Lord, to know you, what I am supposed to do. With all my kingdoms next to you, you're the Lord. You're the Lord, I could gain the world and more. It's all nothing next to you. My reward, take over, lover of my soul. Take control, I surrender. There's nothing I want more than to know you, Lord, to know you. Beautiful song taken from the Psalms. In 431, the Council of Ephesus adjourned. This third of the 21 ecumenical councils of the church condemned Nestorianism and Pelagianism and defined Mary's title as Theotokos, bearer of God. Of course, there have been many misunderstandings in different church organizations or theologies concerning the right place of Mary. Acting on his own word, he published a collection of Christianized Psalms in 1719. Even before this, in 1707, he published his hymns and spiritual songs. They include Joy to the World, these, not his sermons, are his true gift to the church and inspired Charles Wesley even more successful endeavors. With fierce opposition, many church leaders were opposed to his efforts, and some called his hymns Watt's whims. The common people, however, delighted in them. Eventually, the Church of England revised its stand and began adding hymns to their worship. His famous and most famous songs point to Christ. When I survey the wondrous cross, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain, I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. If by the liberty of the press were understood merely the liberty of discussing the propriety of public measures and political opinions, let us have as much of it as you please. But if it means the liberty of affronting, calumniating, and defaming one another, I, for my own part, own myself willing to part with my share of it. Benjamin Franklin, 1788-89, and of course we know that's going on in the press these days very much. And they don't feel like they can be sued for slander or anything else. Every man who loves peace, every man who loves his country, every man who loves liberty, ought to have it ever before his eyes, that he may cherish it in his heart, a due attachment to the Union of America, and to be able to set a due value on the means of preserving it. James Madison, 1788, and folks, what is the true value today of preserving the Union? America doesn't work without a strong, independent brand of Christianity to remind everyone of eternal judgment. That was bred out of the church by cultural Marxists during the 20th century. Leadership. The nations of the West need leadership. Courageous, manly, principled, focused, determined, lawful, and unrelenting leadership. Oh Lord, yes, and let me be one of those. Current studies show that only 10% of Christians have a biblical worldview. Only 14% read the Bible on a daily basis, and only 2.8% of American pastors are willing to apply the Bible to current issues. The American tragedy is that secularism has saturated the modern culture with its pagan worldview and feral values. And of course, pagan worldview and feral values, feral always refers to animals that have gone wild. And we see a lot of that in our government today. For those who understand, no explanation is needed. For those who do not understand, no explanation is possible. Love your neighbor as yourself and your country more than yourself. Thomas Jefferson, 1825. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Russian novelist, Soviet dissident, imprisoned for 8 years for criticizing Stalin in a personal letter. And of course, he received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1970. He said, "The simple step of a courageous individual is not to take part in the lie. One word of truth outweighs the world." One word of truth outweighs the world. So if you're a courageous individual, the simple step of a courageous individual is to not take part in the lie. I will not take part in the lie. American philosopher and essayist Ralph Waldo Emerson noted, "Great men are they who see that spiritual is stronger than material, that thoughts rule the world," 1876. German theologian in 1944, Nazi martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote from prison, "The religious act is always something partial. Faith is something whole, involving the whole of one's life. Jesus calls us not to new religion, but to life." Yes. Is your life worth protecting? If so, whose responsibility is it to protect it? Can you rightfully ask another human being to risk his life to protect yours, when you will assume no responsibility yourself? And I repeatedly ask people that question. The single most frightening thing you encounter is confidence in the government, because it's so common. If you put your confidence in the government, you are going to fail and you will be disappointed. But you will never fail when you put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. The essential characteristic of all government, whatever its form, is authority. There must in every instance be, on the one hand, governors, and on the other hand, those who are governed. And the authority of governors, directly or indirectly, rests in all cases ultimately on force. Government, in its last analysis, is organized force. Not necessarily or invariably organized, armed force, but the will of a few men, of many men, or of a community prepared by organization to realize its own purposes with reference to the common affairs of the community. Organized, that is, to rule, to dominate. Woodrow Wilson, 28th President. It should be your care, therefore, and mine, to elevate the minds of our children and exalt their courage, to accelerate and animate their industry and activity, to excite them in habitual contempt of meanness, abhorrence of injustice and inhumanity, and an ambition to excel in every capacity, faculty, and virtue. John Adams, 1756. Before you speak, think. And the acronym for think, T equals is it true? H equals is it helpful? I equals is it inspiring? N equals is it necessary? L equals is it kind? I should say K, not L. So K equals is it kind? Where liberty dwells, there is my country. Benjamin Franklin. When you pray, God hears. When you listen, God speaks. When you believe, God works. We're bombarded by worldly and demonic spiritual influences. They are always working to move us away from the glorious gospel of Christ. And they are very patient. They don't mind taking generations, decades, centuries, even millennia to work their evil. Your love of liberty, your respect for the laws, your habits of industry, and your practice of the moral and religious obligations are the strongest claims to national and individual happiness. George Washington, 1789. I don't know how many of you out there have ever heard of the famous golfer, Bobby Jones. Of course, having been a golfer myself, of some great ability at one time, I've heard of Bobby Jones, and of course all kind of golf clubs and things branded by him. But what we didn't know about Bobby Jones is that he spoke on character. Browsing around, I came across an interesting note on the word character. The information condensed to its quintessential form comes down to this: a person's essential qualities. I have no idea as to the author. Here's another, often quoted, but again the author remains anonymous. Please read it over a few times, as I will then share a true story of a famous athlete's demonstration of character. Character is what you do when nobody is watching. Character is how you treat people who can do absolutely nothing for you. Character is how you react when the pressure is on. Character is deciding beforehand that you are going to do the right thing. Did the above get a hold of you? It sure grabbed me, and here's the Bobby Jones story. Bobby Jones is one of the greatest golfers ever to compete, uniquely known for winning the Grand Slam of golf, winning all four major tournaments in the U.S. and Britain in a single year. In 1925, early in his career, having reached a final playoff in the U.S. Open, at a certain point in the match, Jones was setting up to strike his ball, which was in the rough, just off the fairway. His iron accidentally touched the ball. Immediately became angry with himself, turned to the marshals, and called a penalty on himself. But the marshals had not seen the ball move, so they left the decision to Jones, whether invoke the penalty, a two-stroke penalty. Bobby called the penalty on himself, not knowing that he would lose the tournament by a single stroke. When praised for his honesty, he replied, "You may as well praise a man for not robbing a bank." Jones may have lost the tournament, but his character was legendary. And today, the United States Golf Association Award for Sportsmanship is known as the Bobby Jones Award. Many Christians must cooperate with the Word and the Holy Spirit to become men and women of character. Another word meaning such the same as integrity. The world around us is watching, listening, and judging in their minds. If what we are showing them is genuine or a put on, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 11:3, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." So now I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe it's 31 verses in that chapter of Scripture that we will look at. And we're going to have two readers today. So I will begin by reading the first16 verses. I'll read 15, and Mrs. Lear, you can read the final 16. So I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from the English Standard Version. "Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and of brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Great invocation. "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is a quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name." I have just read 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 15, in the English Standard Version.
And I'm also reading in the English Standard Version, continuing on in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 16. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And that was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15 through 31 from the English Standard Version.
Well, praise God for the reading of his word. I'd like to use as a subject briefly today, what is your character? What is your character? And having read that historical account of Bobby Jones, and then in the context of this passage of Scripture, or this chapter of Scripture, and I want to draw your attention first and foremost to the very last verse of the chapter in verse 31, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Now, there's several contrasts here in the early part of the chapter, talking about how there was boasting, oh, I follow Paul, or I follow Cephas, or I follow, but some were even boasting that they were following Christ. But their boasting was not a boasting that was approved of by the Lord. The Lord approves of the boasting that he mentions in verse 31. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. So, this kind of a character, when you ask the question, what is your character? Are you somebody who says, oh, I'm a follower of this one, or I'm a follower of that one, or I'm a student of this one, or I'm a student of that one? I mean, we brought out a statistic that very few people, including pastors, and one of the prerequisites when somebody comes to me and asks to be ordained in the Free New Testament Church with us, first requisite, I ask, have you ever read the Bible consistently from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21? If the answer is no, I said, well, go and do that before you come back to me, and then they'll have a whole series of other things you have to qualify in. because we look at the character of the person, and quite honestly, a person who has not read the Bible does not believe the Bible. Just like we said, okay, when you pray, God listens. And when God speaks, if you're listening, and then, of course, when you believe what he's saying, God moves. There are many people that say they believe, yet nothing seems to be happening in their lives in a more positive direction. And I look at people that say they've been in the Lord for 30 or 40 years, and yet they're still the same, stuck in the mud. They have very little character about them. They not only are unequally yoked with unbelievers, they use the ways of the world, speak like the world, act like the world. This is not so. This is not the character of Christ in us. And of course, when we ask the question, what is your character? We should say, I hope my character is the character of Christ in me. So that's the answer to it. If I was asked, what is your character? I'd say, well, I'm an upstanding U.S. citizen. I'm a foremost person in the community. Or I serve in the government, or I serve in the church, or whatever. No, I didn't ask you that. I asked, what is your character? There are many people serve in the church, and of course we could say that Judas served in the church, but he was a thief. He was stealing the offerings and using it for himself. But he served in the church, but he was a thief. And so there are many people serving in the church that obviously are not of very impeccable character. And I always think about what I would want somebody to write on my tombstone. Here lies a man of Christian character. Because most people, if they have read the Bible, or if they've come in contact with anybody who truly is a Christian of the character of Christ, they're going to understand what that means. Because in the way of the world, I mean, you could have put on your tombstone, he was a very worldly person. He was streetwise. He did business really forcefully. Is that really the character of Christ in you? With the character of Christ in you, you'd be able to do business in an honest way, in a truthful way. Not cheating anybody, not putting something over, and just like with Bobby Jones, putting himself, a penalty against himself that cost him a great match. Now, think about this. Even in 1925, him losing the match meant he lost money. He lost standing. He lost sponsors, because they're going to pick out the winner, and he lost that match, even though he won many other ones. But he penalized himself. That's a man of tremendous character. Because you're saying, many people will say, as we read through the things about character, you know, character is who you are when nobody's watching. But the truth of the matter is, if you believe nobody is watching, you don't believe in the Lord. Because the Lord is at hand, and the Lord is watching, and he sees what we do. And just because he may turn his head away, or he may blink, or something like that, does not mean that he approves of it. And many people make this false assumption. Well, the Lord didn't strike me with lightning. The Lord didn't punish me. Well, there's a lot of things that you're doing, my friend, that you're getting the punishment of, and you don't even realize that. In many cases, you're blaming the devil for things that the Lord is doing. And in many situations, you're blaming the Lord for things the devil is doing. Because when you have the character of Christ in you, you see more clearly. And of course, it's mentioned here in verse 29, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Now, what does that mean? Okay, you're going to walk up to God's throne of grace and say, I'm here, it's me, you know, that famous person, the one that won those golf matches, or the one that won that football game and got the, you know, got the ring and all that kind of stuff. It's me. And the one that's done so much for you, Lord. That kind of boasting in the presence of the Lord doesn't go anywhere, because we're supposed to boast in the Lord, not boast in his presence like worldly people. Boast in the things of the Lord. Lord, I stand before you, a sinner condemned to death, and by your grace, by your forgiveness, by your innocent shed blood, I am forgiven, and I am so thankful for that. That's boasting in the presence of the Lord in the way the Lord would say. And of course, he says in verse 28 in this chapter, 25 actually, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." That would say to me, whatever men can teach me, I don't care. I want God to teach me. And people who don't read the Bible, you don't want God to teach you. Because if you really wanted the character of Christ, and you wanted God to teach you, and you wanted to have the wisdom of God and the direction of God, you get it from his word and from the leading of the Holy Spirit. But the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And the weakness of God, which that in itself, God is not weak. But the weakness of God is greater than the greatest strength of man. There are a lot of people out there, don't get me wrong, exercise has its benefit. There are people lifting weights. I lifted weights from the time I was 9 years old. And I always thought, you know, building a strong body was very important, and it is. But it's not nearly as important as building a strong character. And so if there's anything I'm thankful for, is that there are some people that know, if I said I was going to do something, I did it. And if I said I wasn't going to do it, I'm not going to do it. And no force of man is going to convince me of that. And in this day and age, when we're being threatened with jail, we're being threatened with death. I mean, the time will come, according to the Bible, that the saints of God may suffer execution, just like in the French Revolution, with the guillotine. I don't know. Do I want that to happen to me? Of course I don't. But what I don't want to happen is lose the character of Christ in me and fail at the character of Christ in me. Because that's what I consider to be the greatest attribute that somebody could have. And so I rephrase the question to you again today. What kind of character are you? What is your character? And I want you to be very honest with yourself, which is pretty hard to do, before you start listing all your achievements and what you tried to do and what you did do and so forth. I want you to think of it in the way that King Solomon in Proverbs wrote, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." So I know that the unfaithful are destined to be destroyed, but the integrity of the upright will lead them. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we have nothing of human benefit to boast of in your presence, but this we have to say: thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your innocent shed blood. Thank you for leading us and guiding us. Thank you that we can stand before your throne of grace and give the glory to you. We'd not touch your glory. Just the way you said to the children of Israel, don't touch the Ark of the Covenant. And they did it anyway, even though you told them not to. They touched it because they thought you couldn't take care of your own ark well, I know you can take care of your own heart, and I, you know, you can take care of me, and I'm thankful for that, Lord. I really thank you and I praise you for it, and for everyone hearing the sound of my voice. If they don't remember it's me, I don't care about that, but they do remember what I have said, because I said it from the Word of God. This we pray in no other name but King Jesus. Amen and amen.